Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee, and I'm excited to be here with you today. We've been off for about 2 weeks now, so we're catching up on 2 weeks of Torah right now. And we're celebrating the Word of Yah, the third and the fourth weeks of Torah. And our Parashat themes this week are going to be Lech Lachan, which means go forth, and Vayera, which is he appeared. So come and assemble for the reading and the hearing and the reverencing of Yah through fellowship around Torah today. I believe that it's this bread that gives us life, true life, Zoe life, the God kind of life, as we don't live by the natural, but the spiritual food. That's how we're fed, and by his spirit, we are led. So we need the word of God. It's the life-giving word that sends us in the direction that we were formed to be sent into. It was before the foundations of the world that we were even purposed to do the thing that we're doing today. So we're excited, again, to be here with you. And so let's go ahead and jump right in because we don't have much time and we've got a couple of things to cover. And what I want to say is this. I'm just going to cover the third and the fourth week because we are in the fifth week today. We're supposed to be in the fifth week. So next week, I'll cover the fifth and the sixth week. That'll catch us up. And then that week following, I'll do the seventh week all by itself. We'll be right back on course. But the Holy Spirit led me into a place of rest on that first week that I took off. And then I was in my fellowship with the Kingdom Armies, my apostle, and all of the Kingdom Armies were in fellowship in Columbus, Georgia, just this past week. And it was just amazing, amazing, amazing. So I want to jump right in and share this time with you. I believe that we're in an hour of manifesting divinity right now. This is the word that God gave me to give to you. We're in the hour of manifesting the divinity of mankind, that divinity that God gave us. And I know a lot of people, that kind of scares a lot of people because they don't understand what we were actually created for. When you don't understand your purpose, you will be thrown off. You will not complete the assignment. You'll have all kinds of ideas and be looking for all kinds of identity in all kinds of places. But when you begin to understand your true identity, and this is what the Father Yah is bringing us to understand in this time in our lives, that everything that we've been through, everything that we've seen, all of that cost. Brought us to this place to actually materialize and actualize the mind of God concerning his manifesting sons in the earth. So Torah today, we're going to come from Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis 17. We're going to go over that, and I'm going to do my best to run through here. So I have some notes written today because I know that I'm covering two actual weeks, so I'm going to do my best to stick to the notes. I'm not going to read any passages. You're going to have to do that on your own, but I'm going to give you the breakdown or the notes that God gave me. I'll give them to you, and then you can go and read the passage and work with that, okay? So this first week's parashat, the line of that is to go forth. And I believe that covenant requires movement. This is the thing that God told me. He said covenant requires movement. Okay? It requires movement to get to promise. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 17, chapter 17, verses 27. I'm going to give you all of that to read. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 41, verse 1. And then Matthew chapter 1. Verses 1 through 17. So covenant requires movement to get to promise. And in the going forth, you'll find out that covenant also requires separation. And so this is what God is doing in this season. He's really bringing us to a place of separation. So we're going to start in chapter 12. There will be no covenant without contention. I put this up on my Facebook page earlier this week, and this is absolutely a fact. There's no covenant without contention. We'll see that in several different of the lines of story that we're reading in these passages. Lot goes with him. Okay, and even in Lot going with him, it begins to cause contention because at some point, Lot's herdsmen and his herdsmen are at odds. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And they have to go in two different directions. Covenant requires separation, but there will be no covenant without contention. And contention would also include famine. We know that as Abraham was moving in the land of promise, there was a famine there. Not only was there a famine there that caused him to go away and go back into another place. He went into Egypt, as had been done before. He goes into Egypt, and I believe that's where he picked up Hagar from. I don't think Hagar was one of their servants that was living where they were living because that was two different places. But I believe that they picked Hagar up when they had to go into this place to flee the famine that was in the land. But that land also has giants. Are you hearing me? It also has giants. In this place where contention is, rulers will envy what you have. You remember that Abram at this point and Sarai, they're going through a place. They're coming out of that Egyptian place where they were dealing with the fulfillment of dealing with the famine situation. I'm trying to get my words together here. This evening, it's been a long day. Forgive me. I'm going to slow down. As they were coming out of that place, they are met with a king, and he tells Sarah, he says, listen, when we go in here, I need you to say that you're my sister. And so in that place, he is envied for what he has. Sarai, his wife, is an envy of those nations, of that king, and she is brought into the king's palace, but the king doesn't touch her. But also, what happens when you are in this covenant and it doesn't go without contention, that fear, are you hearing me? Fear will come upon you. And that was what Abram. I want to make it clear that he was not Abraham yet. So that's why I keep correcting myself, because we get so comfortable in calling him that name when we're dealing with him in another part of his life. We forget that that's not the attribute of who he was in that moment. So Abram fears in this moment, but it should remain a reverence to Yah, no matter what part of the covenant processing you're going through. Reverence to Yah. The adversary will exploit those fear places. He will exploit those fear places, which is why I believe Hagar even came on the scene, because of the fear that Abraham had. He was, first of all, asking a question. And when he was safe when he was asking the question of the father, like, what are we going to do about this fulfillment that you're talking about, this promise you're talking about, because all I have in my house is Eliezer, this servant. That's all I have. And so whatever you give me is going to have to go to my servant. I don't have a son of my own loins. And the father gives him the information that he needs to let him know that I'm going to use you. It's going to come of your loins. You're not going to have to give what you have to the servant, but I'm going to give you a son. And so, again, you have to be careful, because the covenant doesn't come without contention. So you'll get to that place, and then you'll begin to create situations. And I want to jump before myself. We were in chapter 12. I want to go to 13. Covenant will create amazing environments for you. Covenant gives you access to dimensions on different levels. It gives you access to dimensions that are outside of those familiar to you. I want to, first of all, deal with dimensions, though, that are familiar to you, because he came from a place where having multiple wives was a thing. He came from a place where that wasn't a big deal. So to hear Sarai say to him, I'm not able to bear, why don't you go into my maidservant and have this child? That was easy for him. So that dimension was easy for him. But I'm saying that covenant gives you access to dimensions that are outside of those that are familiar to you as well. Are you hearing me? So it will birth something other than the familiar. Okay? It will birth something other than the familiar. It'll make you a realm. Yeah. Covenant will create amazing environments for you. It will make you a realm. And we know that this covenant blessing that the Father had bestowed upon Abraham was to make him a realm. It was to make him a realm of wealth, that he would create dimensions, not only go into dimensions, but he would create dimensions. And so this is important that we understand that covenant will create amazing environments for you, and it will make you a realm. What is a realm? I kind of broke this down some weeks ago, and I'm hoping that I can get to it really fast, because this word the Father gave me to break it down, and I want to read it to you. It says, we know that re means again, and it indicates, but that word on the other side of that is the word alms, which means charity, which denotes that something is constantly being given. So a rem would be a giving again and again, a repetition of something being given. Are you hearing me? So God will make you a rem. Let me get back to this. Because of the uncertainties of covenant, of the covenanted place, or should I say the covenanted place is a place of hands-on training. I'll say it that way because sometimes we can deal with the uncertainties, but we don't understand that really that place is our position of hands-on training, just like it was in the garden. It was unfamiliar, but it's not just about the unfamiliarity of the thing. It's the fact that you're being trained hands-on. You're getting hands-on training. That is kind of reminds me of something I said to my grandson yesterday as I was helping him and going over some things with him and training him to read and training him in some things. And I was taking him back over phonetic sounds and the dull sight words and that kind of thing. And he was kind of getting frustrated with the task that I had given him. What the task was, I was having him to read the words off of the screen. I had it coming up before him and it was being spoken and it was being said, but I wanted him to say it after then and to write it. So I was having him to repeat what was being said and to write it. And it was moving kind of at a high rate of speed. And one of the reasons why I did this was because I wanted him to become familiar with another dimension. I wanted him to become familiar outside of the realm that he's been, going into another dimension of his education, another dimension or a place that he had not been accustomed to. And growth comes when you change dimensions. There's something different in that area that you had not been accustomed to in another area. So I was taking him out of familiarity and bringing him into a place of growth. So there are uncertainties, but I want to deal with that as much as I want to say that that's a place of hands-on training. So Abe compromises Sarai's safety to save his own life. Why? Because he's in a place where he's not certain of things. You know, he's been called out of a place of security. He's been called out of a place that he was born and raised in. And even though the father has expressed to him who he is in some senses, you know, he's expressed himself to him. He's shown himself to him on some levels, which is what made it so easy for him to move from the place that he was in, was because God had already revealed himself. And I know we like to say that we've never known anything about things, but I want you to understand that the things that you're getting ready to walk in today are directly a response to the training that you've already received. I can assure you that I have had dreams when I was a little kid and would wake up and have dirt on my shoes and have been to places. This is what we call deja vu, right? But God was, he was preparing you to leave dimensions. He was preparing you in another season of your life so that you could get to the place where he could snatch you up and take you to a place where you would not be startled by that. You could just go in and out of dimensions. You could just be around in an environment. You understand what I'm saying? And so we've been trained to do what we do. So this is why it made him or positioned him to be able to come out of his father's house. But you got to understand, it was still a lot of things that he did not know. So when he gets to these places, he has some levels of fear or misunderstanding about what he's supposed to do or how he's supposed to behave. All of this is about a growth process for him. But covenant causes conversation and personal and intimate relationships with the Father first, okay? It causes personal relationships and intimate relationships, but it causes conversation. Covenant also produces overflow. So we're in this place. We're still in chapter 13, and we're looking at the life of Abe and Sarai as they're going through these places. And first of all, he's denying that this is his wife, and he's saying, this is my sister. And so he comes to a place now where he's having conversations. Okay, but it creates relationships. The father has had conversations not only with him but with the king and protected his interests. It's protected the place where the promise is supposed to come from. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so it produces overflow. So what happens as a result of even Abe's what we would consider an error? It was really just him not having a clarity, not knowing. You know, and a lot of times we're looking at things as if they're error in people, and sometimes they just don't know. You understand? It's as a lack of information. And so now he's being put in a place of overflow just in that hands-on training. So I want you to know that the hands-on training that the Father is giving you in this season, there's some overflow that's going to come from it. No, you're not going to get everything right the first time, or you're not going to feel like you did all of the right things, but overflow is going to be produced out of it because the covenant has been made. Covenant breeds confidence. Are you hearing me? There's a confidence that covenant breeds, and so we need to understand that covenant breeds confidence. It was simple and it was easy for Abraham to tell Lot to go in one direction and for him to go in another. Why? Because he knew that the promise was with him, that the covenant was made with him, and wherever he went, he was the realm in that place. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So he created the dimension because he was the realm. God is good. He created the dimension because he was already the realm. So we will go in a process from being the realm to going into dimensions, to being the realm and creating dimensions. It's the thing that the Father instituted from the beginning when he set man down in the midst of the garden. He says, listen, dress and keep this thing. And I know I talk about that all the time, but anytime you want to know where God is going, you got to understand where he already had a conversation, what the conversation was already about. And so that's what happened in the garden. This is what we're looking at right here. So this is why confidence is breeded in covenant relationships. And you can be confident with a God that keeps his word. I want to tell you this. It's a thing. It's a part of his character that we, as the people of Yah, need to consume that part of his character and become that. We need to see him for who he is. And as we see him, and see, we'll know when we're really seeing him because we're becoming what he is. That's the word of the Lord. We're becoming what we see. Just like Jacob put those sticks down in the watering trough and he had peeled back the bark and they looked the specific way that they looked to create the pattern that was to be released in the earth. They were looking upon those things and becoming what they saw. And that was absolutely the divine pattern of how God has designed us to see who he is and to become him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's go to chapter 14. Covenant is to perpetuate. It's meant to perpetuate. So you will understand proper relationships and divine connections are necessary to perpetuate the covenant. Are you hearing me? So you're going to come out of covenant. These things are what comes out of covenant. I'm reading my notes, so forgive me because I need to move through here quickly. Proper relationships and divine connections come out of covenant with the Father. And this is why I always am saying in the beginning, God. In the beginning, Yah. Why? Because if he's in the beginning of the thing, he's the foundation for everything that's getting ready to be built on top of that. It's gonna be a part of who he is. It's going to be a part of the original pattern. Anything that's not built on that foundation is from another place. Are you listening to me? So covenant requires integrity. Are you hearing me? Covenant requires integrity. When Abram is dealing with these things that are happening in chapter 14, we know that this is the part where he meets Melchizedek. And I've got a lot of conversation to have with you about Melchizedek, the Melchizedekian priest order. That's something that the Holy Spirit has really been dealing with me over the last year or so about. I'm going to begin to release that to you. But it requires integrity. Covenant does because he gets to this place where he has encounter with royalty. He has encounter with a king. And he says, instead of figuring out all he can take for himself, he says, take care of my men. Are you hearing me? Covenant requires integrity. And when you are in covenant with the Father, it produces an integral character in you that causes you not to just look at what you can get from people, what you can amass, but what you can give, what other people can receive based on the relationships, the divine relationships and proper relationships that God is connecting to you because you're in covenant. Are you listen to me? Covenant also brings deliverance. Across the board, covenant brings deliverance, not just for you, but for the people that are connected to you. And a lot of cases, covenant doesn't just bring deliverance to people that are connected to you directly, but those that will be in your environment. And we know that the kings were going to war and that this thing about Sodom and Gomorrah was coming up. And before we get to that, we see that Lot has been taken off, you know, because of this battle with the kings, right? And so this information has come to him because of someone that's confederate with him, somebody that's in relationship with him, somebody that's in covenant with him. But when you're in covenant with Yah, God will provide for you proper covenant relationships, and you'll have all of the information that you need all of the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Matter of fact, when you're in covenant with the Father, you also know that the Holy Spirit is the one that leads and guides us into all truth. So we have that on this side. Abram did not have what we have today, but we've got an even better covenant. Are you listening to me? So chapter 14, let's continue. Covenant is to perpetuate the blessing. It's to perpetuate it. So that perpetuation needs a people. It needs a family, and this is the importance of family. But covenant also positions us for favor, and we've already seen that the king releases in the chapter prior. But here, the king of Salem, and I'm going to get into this just briefly, he comes and he releases the favor of God upon Abram. Are you hearing me? After which his name changes. Are you hearing me? So covenant also changes our name, which changes our character. Are you hearing me? It takes us from the place that we were to the place that God desires us to be. I'm trying to read these notes. Are you hearing me? It brings change in our environments because now we're not who we were, but we're who we were divinely orchestrated to be, who we were divinely created to be. Covenant makes us gangsta. Okay, covenant makes us warriors. I'll say it like that. Covenant makes us warriors because, you know, as this thing was happening, Abraham gathers up 300 plus of his finest men to go to war to go and recover his nephew Lot. Are you hearing me? Covenant doesn't make you a punk. It makes you a warrior. And it also reveals the eternal technology of the future. It reveals dimensions of technology that we've never seen before. When we start talking about Melchizedek, that thing right there is so much in there. I'm going to try not to get stuck there because I've only got 8 minutes and I know I'm not going to get through this. That technology that's shown there, we're talking about the king of Salem. And I know a lot of people like to say that Melchizedek was Jesus in the Old Testament. I get that. I hear you. But we've got to understand that he was called the Prince of Peace. He was not the King of Peace yet. He's still been called the Prince of Peace because we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So we haven't gotten there yet. But this is the technology of the future. It's the eternal technology of dimensions of the future that we're looking at when we're looking at Melchizedek, because he is the future of who we are. He is who we are growing up into the head, the perfect man, the kings and priests before our God. Listen to me. This is the technology that we are operating in right now, but they had it then. Abram was introduced to it then. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't want to get stuck there. That's what covenant does, though. It reveals eternal technology. It reveals the things that are before you, not the things that you're operating in just now, but the things that are in front of you. Let's see here. Covenant. Yeah, I don't want to go there because that'll get me stuck. It causes you to be in the company of kings. It sets you apart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It shows the difference between you and them. We notice here, as the spoils were collected, causes Abram to come into the company of the elite, of the kings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It set him apart, and it causes you to be reminded of who you are. Because what does Melchizedek begin to say? He says, blessed be Abraham. Are you hearing me? He begins to go down the list of who he is and what he is to God. Are you hearing me? Covenant makes you honor your relationships. Oh, God, I can't get stuck here, but this is a message all within itself. Covenant makes you honor the relationships, the divine relationships that the Father's given you. When Abram heard that Lot was captured, he pulled together again 300 men. He honored that relationship. But not only that, he honored the men that God had connected him with. And again, he didn't seek to hoard whatever was the plunder to himself. He said, listen, matter of fact, I don't even want nothing to do with that, because none of you are going to be able to say you made me rich, but I want you to take care of the people that toiled with me, that went to war with me. Genesis chapter 15. Covenant produces God encounters. Are you hearing me? Covenant produces God encounters. It causes definition and clarity in the relationship. This is what the Father was doing in Genesis 15. He was beginning to give divine clarity and definition to the covenant that he had called Abram into. It causes us to inquire of the Father. Covenant, it causes you to inquire because you're in a place where you don't have understanding. You're in a place that you've never been before. So it causes you to have conversations with the Father, to inquire of him direction. And I want you to understand this, because we've seen how Abram went off the reservation, because he went from inquiring to just making it up as he went along, to just going along with whatever was stated to try to fulfill the promise. You don't have to try to fulfill the promise. This brings me to a call that I got yesterday, a woman of God that I talked to maybe about 6 or 7 months ago. I was ministering to her on the phone, and I began to prophesy to her that she was trying too hard in her environment. I know her from a previous place, but I didn't know what she was dealing with. I didn't know all that she was doing in that season, but the Holy Spirit began to release to me that she was trying too hard to do what she was doing and to just allow the Father to work in her, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Just position herself in his will, to position herself and to yield to his good pleasure in this season. And so she called me yesterday and she said, I want you to know that 2,000 miles away, the word of the Lord that you released 6 months ago has come to me. And you said that I was trying too hard and I was trying to figure out, well, maybe she's saying that because of this. Maybe she's saying that because of that. She said, but clearly you were on the money. Clearly God gave you a word that was for me right then. And now I understand it, because even the things that I was trying to do, when I stopped trying, those things just began to happen for me. And there were people that I talked to 10 months ago that were now calling my phone to position me for the promise that God gave me. So we don't have to try. Covenant automatically produces God encounters. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And all we have to do is hear and be in the position to yield to whatever's being spoken in that environment. Covenant causes you to remember where you came from. Are you hearing me? It causes you to remember where you came from. It causes us to know that the Father has been to us a shield and an exceeding great reward, that he'll be that to us. That's what he said to Abraham. He said, listen, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. It causes us to fight for covenant. Covenant causes us to fight. It also gives us revelation. Covenant reveals things, and we kind of talked about that already, but I want to go back over it again, because chapter 15 denotes another revelation that comes as a result of covenant. Are you hearing me? Because the Father begins to discuss with Abram what's to come in the generations that are after him. This is what's going to happen with the generations. Are you hearing me? And so the Father begins to reveal. Not only does he reveal what's going to happen with the generations as far as them going into captivity and the amount of years that they'll be there, but he also begins to reveal the enemies that they will have in the land as it pertains to their captivity. Genesis 16, covenant brings contention. I've said this already. Hagar and Ishmael are in Genesis chapter 16, and we'll see that whole manifestation of the decision that was made outside of inquiring of God and allowing him to direct. Are you hearing? But this is all a part of the hands-on training that happens in covenant relationship with the Father. We seem to miss it at times. We seem to go off, but the Father, because he has a plan to desire covenant with us, he puts us back on track, and we'll see that in the chapters to come. But there's a covenant that comes with contention. Hagar and Ishmael come on the scene. Chapter 17, covenant demands perfection. But perfection denotes correction. It's going to put us in a place of being corrected. Are you hearing me? But it also makes you fruitful to bear. And this bearing that happens as a point of covenant bears kings and royal generations. Are you hearing me? You know, you do know that as the Father says to him, you will bear, kings will come of you, and royal nations will come of you. And it's the same word that he called the children, the Hebrew children. He says, you're a royal priest to the holy nation. Are you hearing me? A peculiar people. You listen to me? But covenant also demands humility. It causes humility, because you recognize, listen, that I don't have everything that I need. I'm not all that I need to be. But because of that humility, it also puts us in a position where that humility causes the Father to give a designed prerequisite to meet the need, and that's the requiring of the cutting of the flesh. Are you hearing me? I want to go to Genesis 8, chapter 18 real quick, because this is the next parashat. He appeared. Anytime there is covenant, the Father's going to appear. He's going to talk to you about the covenant, and then he's going to show up. When you look here, you'll notice that there's a perfect example of vision and action. There's an appointed time. It'll speak when it's time, and it will not tarry when it's time for it to come, but you're going to have to wait for it. And if you don't wait for it, you'll wind up with an Ishmael. But after covenant has been made, expect the promise, the foundation of covenant. Expect the unbelievable. Faith will be challenge. Yah will discuss his heart with you, and covenant will, in that covenant that's made, and that requires discussion. Are you hearing me? I got to get out of here. I know I don't have much more time to share any more of this with you, but I wanted to try to at least get through that. I really wanted to get into Genesis 19 and the fact that covenant gives you judicial position with God. I'll say that in closing. Covenant gives you judicial position with God to be a decision maker, to be a justice of the peace, and to prove your closeness in the relationship. Because remember, Abram begins to speak with the Father regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes from 50 to 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10, but that humility was still intact. Genesis 19. Covenant produces judgment of the contention that's come before you. Darkness will seek to keep bearing. That's why where Moab and Ammon come from. And even though the Father gets rid of Sodom and Gomorrah, darkness is still trying to produce. But when he shows up, you have to understand that he makes a distinction between his seed and everything else. I love you so much. God bless you. Listen, until the next time we come together, you're blessed, and don't forget it.